in Union Square one day, and I got her number. Don't worry, a dozen folks must have seen us in Raleigh together, including Denton Wicks from Copper Mill. There's a mirror that anyone would believe. We had a late dinner and caught a show with Denton and his wife Millie until midnight, and then I was at the pool when it opened at 5 a.m. to swim my laps, and I talked Rose into going with me to keep me company on the edge of the pool. If that was true, neither Henry nor Rose would have been able to get back to April Springs, find and then kill Peter, and still make it back in time for his swim. "Thanks for confiding in me," I said. "Well, I just thought that, given what happened, you had a right to know," he said. "I appreciate that." He started to leave and then hesitated. "You know, I really do hope you find the creep who killed Peter. Nobody deserves to get struck down like a rabid dog like that." "I didn't think you were all that fond of him, Henry."
"I wasn't, but that's beside the point," he said. "Now that he's gone, there's one question that I can't seem to stop thinking about."
"Who killed him?" I asked.
"More like, how am I ever going to get my money back now?"
I thought about the $3,000 that Grace and I were still holding that we'd found in Peter's apartment, but I wasn't the slightest bit tempted to turn it over to Henry. It wasn't my responsibility, after all, and I'd make Grace turn it over to Brian as soon as the murder investigation was over, if he hadn't killed his own brother, at any rate.
"Who was that? Henry Lincoln?" Mama asked as she came out on the porch when the man drove away.
"If you know the answer, why do you ask the question?" I asked her with a grin. Mama glanced down at the flowers.
"And he brought gifts as well? That's certainly out of character for him."
"He said he heard about the accident," I admitted.
"Is that the only reason he was here?" Mama asked. "You're a suspicious person, you know that?"
"What can I say? I get it from my daughter," she answered without missing a beat.
"I believe that's supposed to be the other way around," I said.
"No matter. What did he want?" I knew it was futile holding out on her.
"It turns out that he was with Rose White in Raleigh the night before and morning of the murder, and he's got some pretty reliable witnesses to back him up."
Mama shook her head.
"Why am I not surprised?"
"That he had an alibi?"
"No, that he was with a woman."
"I often suspected that's why he and Peter got along so well up until the end. They were both fond of the ladies."
"Well, at least now I can start marking names off of my list, since he was with another suspect of ours."
"How many are left, then?" Mama asked.
I thought about it, and then ticked them off on my fingers as I named them.
"Well, it's not a short list. We've still got Leah Gentry, Kay Belson, Brian Morgan, and, as much as I hate to admit it, my new assistant, Nan."
"You really think Nan Winters could have done it?" Mama asked as George, Emma, and Grace joined us outside.
"Think who did what?" Emma asked.
"We were just wondering if Mrs. Orange used a slingshot in the treehouse," I said with a smile. There was no way I was going to let myself get roped into that particular conversation.
"None of those things are from the game Clue," George said.
"You always were a good detective," I said as I patted his chest. "I can't slip anything past you."
"That means you're not going to tell us, doesn't it?"
Emma said.
"Wow, hanging around me all this time really taught you to read me well, didn't it?" I asked as I smiled at my friend.
"Well, we're off," George said. Emma's got some unpacking to do, and I have a meeting with the county planner in 10 minutes.
You two have all the fun, don't you? I asked as I hugged and kissed them in turn, Grace and I trading off our thanks.
We appreciate you coming by.
More than you even realize, Mama added. George was telling us that to keep from overwhelming you with visitors, everyone else is waiting in City Hall for his report.
Honestly? I asked.
I wouldn't lie to you.
And Dad's going to run a follow-up article tomorrow with your permission, of course, Emma said. Folks want to know how you two are doing.
I thought about refusing the idea of an article, but then I realized that Ray would run something anyway, so why not let him get his facts from Emma? At least she knew the truth, no matter what her father ended up doing with it.
Well, thanks double then, I said.
After they were gone, Grace said, that might work on them, but I want the truth. What happened when you and Henry Lincoln were out there?
You two have a chat about it, Mama said. I'm going to start cleaning up.
We'll be in a sec, I said.
Take your time. You both need to discuss what you just learned.
After Mama was back inside, I brought Grace up to speed on what Henry Lincoln had told me, and she nodded as I finished.
I believe it's true, Grace said.
Based on what? Do you think Henry would ever be with Rose?
He hit on me once, Grace admitted, so yes, I believe it.
Did you tell Peter about it? What did he do?
Nothing, Grace said. I'm not even sure he believed me at the time.
Boy, he was a real prince, wasn't he? I said, forgetting for a second how tied in with Peter Grace had been.
Hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. No matter what he was like at the end, he deserved better than he got.
I hugged her lightly. Funny, even Henry Lincoln just said the same thing.
Grace, I promise you that we're going to do our best to see that he gets it.
Mama asked me where our suspect list was now, and I was happy to tell her that it had narrowed considerably.
Grace nodded. Kay, Brian, and Leah are the only ones who are left.
That's not bad.
Don't forget Nan, I said.
Do you honestly believe that your new helper is a killer?
Hey, she has ties with just about everyone involved in this case, I reminded her. And I know she's been holding out on me. Tomorrow I'm going to press her until she tells me the truth.
What if she quits?
I just shrugged. I'll worry about that if it happens.
Besides, you've always got Emma now that she's back in town.
That's not why I'm going to press her, Grace. I need her to tell me the truth, especially if we're going to keep working together. If I can't trust the woman, I can't have her helping run the donut shop. It's as simple as that.
I know.
So, if you're gonna talk to her tomorrow morning, we only have 3 folks left on our list. Any ideas about where to start?
I'd say we tackled the ladies, I said.
You're not afraid of Brian Morgan, are you? Gently, she asked.
I thought about it for a second, and then I admitted, I wouldn't say that I'm afraid of him, but then again, I wouldn't want to be alone in a dark alley with him either. To tell you the truth, he kind of gives me the creeps.
I know what you mean, but that doesn't make him a murderer, does it?
No, I acknowledged, but it doesn't clear him either.
So, should we tackle Kay or Leah first?
I vote Leah, I said. I heard she's already back in town, staying with her uncle again. I guess Ida put too many restrictions on her.
Great. Nothing like a little family honor to defend.
Bert isn't exactly your biggest fan, is he?
I grinned at her.
That's what makes it so nice. I don't have to tiptoe around him, do I?
And that's all we have time to read on today's broadcast. We've been reading Power Dirge Peril by Jessica Beck. This is Terry Betson. I'm enjoying reading this with you, so be sure to listen with me on the next broadcast.
Hear the Mystery Hour every weeknight at 11 here on Audio Reader. Next on Audio Reader at midnight, it's USA Today, followed at 1 a.m. by the Wall Street Journal.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American, followed by Books for Night Owls at 2.
This week on the Recording Library of West Texas Saturday Night Movie.
On October 14th, 1947, Captain Charles Yeager shattered the sound barrier, propelled man into the future. The search began for a new breed of men.
It takes a special kind of man to volunteer for a suicide mission, especially once on TV.
They were idolized by the public.
Hi, which one are you?
Shepard.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Well, which one's Glenn? He's the one I want to meet.
But behind the image, they were human beings.
If anybody goes up in the damn thing, it's going to be spam in a can.
What happened? He blew the hatch! I did not do anything wrong! The hatch just blew! It was a glitch! It was a... malfunction!
Conflicts.
You're gonna think of the broader interests of this program.
You are way out of line here.
I'm out of line?
Yes, sir.
I'm running this show here.
We'll see about that.
Disappointments.
Aren't we going to the White House, Gus?
Nah.
Pressures.
Or do I have to urinate?
No. Tell him he cannot.
Say, listen, old buddy. They promise we'll stop at the next gas station.
They request that you remain in a holding pattern till then.
These are the men who had the right stuff.
They all want to see Buck Rogers, and that's us.
This week, join us for the 51st anniversary of Man on the Moon with the audio described The Right Stuff. Saturday night at 7 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 87 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 80s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's midnight.
Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, July 24th, 2020. Section A, Politics. Candidates vie for empty district court seat. By Caitlin Randall, C-R-A-N-D-L-E at MRT.com. Seven candidates are vying to preside over the 385th District Court in Midland County. After speculation, Governor Greg Abbott will fill the judicial seat before it's on the ballot in November. The state position has been open since the end of February, when Judge Robin Malone Darr retired after 16 years on the bench and nearly two decades with the district attorney's office. It can be filled only by the governor's appointment or the election of a new judge in November. If Abbott opts not to tap a replacement, the seat will remain vacant until January. However, County Republican Chair Sherry Merkitt said she has spoken with Abbott's office and believes he intends to proceed with an appointment. She said he likely was delayed in doing so sooner by the coronavirus pandemic, which began shortly after Darr's retirement. Six candidates have applied for the post through the governor's office, as is required to be considered. Those candidates are Mary Baker, Rebecca Patterson, Linehan, James Harwood, Susanna Pruka, Leah Robertson, and Andrew Vanderhoven. A seventh candidate, Keith Stretcher, has also expressed interest and indicated he will apply. Merkitt and the four county precinct chairs will be meeting on Tuesday and listening to each candidate's prepared remarks on their qualifications and desire to run. The chairs will then decide who will represent the Republican Party on the ballot in November. Abbott could bypass their choice and appoint a different candidate until the election, though Merkitt said, "We usually like to work with the governor." Merkitt said she was excited about the candidates who have submitted applications so far. "I think we have some extremely qualified candidates. Two of those in the running recently ran for other county elected official positions. Baker faced off against David Rogers in the July runoff for 142nd District Judge, and Linehan challenged County Attorney Russell Malm in March. Abbott could appoint someone for the 385th District seat at any time between now and November. If his choice and the precinct chairs align, that person would likely be running unopposed on the November ballot. If the selections differ, Abbott's appointment would serve until January, when a new judge would be sworn in." Education. MCS, Trinity, have plans for in-person and online learning. By Stuart Doreen, S-D-O-R-E-E-N, at HurstNP.com. Just like Midland ISD students, youth attending two of the largest private schools in Midland will have options. Midland Christian and Trinity Schools have told the Reporter Telegram they will provide in-class instruction for those who want to come to campus and online learning for those still fearful of the coronavirus pandemic. In May, it appeared there were going to be more certainty heading into the 2021 school year. The Midland Health Department reported 129 total coronavirus cases through the end of May. That was 129 cases over 2.5 months. Then the spike took place. Over the next 7+ weeks, the Health Department reported 1,527 cases. As of Wednesday, that number reached 955 in July alone. options became necessary. MCS Superintendent Jared Lee told the Reporter-Telegram that school is scheduled to start on August 12th. That will hold true for those who come to campus and for those participating online. While there are details to be finalized and passed on to MCS families, Lee said the plan for secondary students is that students learning at home will participate in class through a Zoom call beginning at 8 a.m. Lee said an online learning coordinator has been hired for the elementary school. We are working on policies around online learning so our parents can choose online learning if they want to. Precautions will be in place for those students coming to campus, social distancing whenever possible, lunches for elementary students in the classrooms, and encouraging students to wear masks in areas where it is not possible to practice social distancing. We will approach it where we give parents the option for face coverings. Head of school Shelby Hammer said the plan now is for school to start as planned on August 19th. A final decision is expected on August 7th. There will be students and instructors on campus and remote learning for those who desire that alternative. Like Lee, Hammer said, under normal circumstances, students would be on campus. However, these are not normal. Unprecedented is the term she used to describe the extended spring break and the first attempt at remote learning. Hammer said there will not be the leeway when it comes to the online instruction and school schedule. There will be more structure and accountability when it comes to those learning virtually. Trinity parents are investing in education and have expectations to deliver on the school's mission to be a college preparatory community. Hammer said face coverings will be required for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Hammer also said temperature screenings will be part of the daily protocols. Both Lee and Hammer talked about making sure their respective academic institutions provide the education parents expect. As all schools in Midland, private and public, found out, there are limitations when thrown into the deep end of the virtual learning pool because of the pandemic. The first day of classes for private schools around the city are expected to be from August 12th through August 26th, according to school websites. Construction. Overpass work to help complete north part of Loop 250 by Stuart Doreen. S-D-O-R-E-E-N at HurstNP.com. Work has started on a pair of overpass projects that will help complete the northern half of Loop 250 in Midland. Work is taking place at County Road 1140, County Road 1150, and County Road 60 east of the City of Midland. Overpass work is expected to be done in late 2021 at Loop 250, County Road 1150, and County Road 60. While the overpass at Loop 250 and County Road 1140 should be completed in the summer of 2022, according to previous Texas Department of Transportation reports. TxDOT officials said both projects are on schedule. The projects have been identified as priorities of the Permian Basin Metropolitan Planning Organization and the Midland Development Corp., contributed $5 million for both projects, according to previous Reporter-Telegram reports. The contribution is said to have helped leverage state funding in excess of $40 million. Jones Brothers of Odessa won both projects with bids totaling more than $46.7 million. Education. ECISD plans to bring students back in four phases by Caitlin Randall, C-R-A-N-D-L-E at MRT.com. Ector County ISD superintendent presented his back-to-school plan, which involves bringing students back to campus in four phases, beginning August 12th, to the Board of Trustees Tuesday night. Superintendent Scott Murray told board members the plan was created using parameters set by the Texas Education Agency. Those parameters allow students to be phased into in-person learning for the new school year over a period of 4 weeks. The first phase will bring back students who don't have internet access at home, as well as students who receive special services, three-year-olds at early education centers, and children of ECISD employees. The second through fourth phases will begin August 18th, August 24th, and August 28th, respectively. Students will return based on which grade they're in and which school they attend. All students will have the option to either attend school on campus or learn remotely. Most also can choose hybrid classes, alternating between in-person and remote learning, with the exception of kindergarten through second grades. There will be additional rules in place to follow COVID-19 guidelines. Lockers and storage areas will not be available, and students will be provided a personal device, such as a laptop or iPad if needed, and will be responsible for bringing that device to school and home each day. Masks will be required for students in grades 4 through 12 and all employees. Students in pre-kindergarten to third grade will be required to wear masks when outside of the classroom, and it is recommended they wear masks in class. Students who take the bus to school will also be following new rules, Murray said. Only one student will be allowed in each seat unless the students are from the same household. The use of hand sanitizer will be required upon boarding, and all students must wear masks on the bus. Buses will be thoroughly cleaned after each trip. The presentation Tuesday night followed concerns raised by several community members about teachers returning to schools. Two ECISD teachers, Sheena Salcido and Javier Reese, said they did not feel safe returning to school at this time. They asked district leaders to consider waiting until at least September 8th to reopen campuses, or until there has been a strong decline in the community's coronavirus cases for 30 days. In a parent survey that ECISD gathered more than 10,000 results, 67% of parents said they intended to send their children back to campus, while 33% indicated they'd choose remote learning. A survey of about 1,800 ECISD employees found 97% said they would return to work as directed for the 2021 school year. Local briefs from staff reports. Man charged after allegedly hitting woman in the head. A 30-year-old Midland man was being held at Midland County Jail Thursday after allegedly assaulting a woman at a local convenience store on Wednesday, according to a press release from the city spokeswoman. Darrell LaVon Anderson was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony. Bond had not been set as of Thursday afternoon. Police responded to a DK convenience store in the 4200 block of North Midland Drive at about 10 a.m. Wednesday in reference to an assault. A man, later identified as Anderson, hit a woman in the head multiple times using a wooden object and then left the store. The woman was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Police found the suspect in the 4400 block of North Midland Drive, where he was questioned about the incident. Anderson told officers that he assaulted the woman with a wooden object inside the store. City. Pedestrian dies after being hit by SUV. Midland police are looking for the driver of an SUV that was involved in a pedestrian fatality Thursday morning, according to a press release from the city spokeswoman. Midlander Andrea Romero Pruneda, 68, was walking in the area of Rankin Highway and Woolcott Avenue at about 6 a.m. when she was hit by a Kia Sorento, according to the release.